Today's reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. There's a lot of complicated grown-up words in here, so please forgive my pronunciations. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say."
Thank you. I was a bit mean this morning because I didn't want to try the grown-up words. I struggled this week trying to work out what Bible reading I was supposed to have, because this reading kept coming up and I'm like, yeah, but that's Pentecost. You know, you're like, it's not Pentecost, we're in Lent, and we're preparing for the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Why are you giving me Pentecost? But we are talking about gifts of the Spirit. And it struck me that we're doing the gifts of the Spirit leading up to the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Without that, none of this would be possible. We wouldn't be here, would we? And the Holy Spirit would not have been released to each and every one of us. These are spiritual gifts. They're not forced on you. They are offered to you. But you have to make the decision to take them. And that has sat with me all week. That we are in a period of preparation for the biggest event in our history, in the world's history. No one singular event has changed the world anywhere even close to the death and resurrection of Christ. Have you ever thought about that? One event, 3 days. The whole of history have never, ever had the effect that those 3 days did. Just let that stay with you. And because I think we tend to forget it. And none of what I've been talking about for the last 5 weeks would have been no point, because it wouldn't have been there. You wouldn't have the opportunity to be able to have close relationship with the amazing, awesome God we do. You wouldn't be offered these gifts. And the thing is, it's sad that quite often the church misses them. These are gifts for all of us. And so often, the church doesn't take them. The church doesn't use them. Because they're contrary to how we live our lives now. We don't do supernatural. It's also been handed out to New Age witchcraft and all the rest of it. That's bad. So how are you now asking us to step into the Spirit that we don't see, that does all these things that we don't fully understand. Who's struggling to get their heads around all of that? Yeah. This is not going to be the only time we talk about this, because I have been made aware that it's the first time you've heard it from up here. So we're going to be doing it more and more, because, believe me, this is how God blesses his church. That's why they're called gifts. God wants to bless us. Now, who has heard of tongues? Okay, quite a few hands up. Brilliant. Who's ever spoken in tongues? Okay, thank you. Not so many. Is there anyone here who's wanted to and just was a little bit scared about what it meant? Now, either you are all not curious, or you just don't want to put your hand up. I'm hoping it's the latter, okay? Because, again, this is a gift. And I have to say, my Christian life would not have been the same without it. So, tongues are, we are warned in the Bible not to seek it above all else. Part of the problem is it's an outward gift. So if you're speaking in tongues, you're pretty conspicuous. You know, people can see that you have the gift of tongues if you're speaking in tongues. But they didn't. They didn't know that was what was happening at Pentecost. They just heard their own language. The thing is, that's what tongues is. It is your own language. It is your language that comes from your relationship and within your spirit connection with God. Now, as we know, I talk a lot and I struggle with this. You might not have realized this, but I'm not brilliant at outward prayers in a group. I've always struggled with it ever since I became a Christian. And funnily enough, becoming a minister doesn't make it any easier. They don't give you the key to that when you're at college. But, I don't know about you, there are times when I want to pray and I just don't have the words. And it sits deep inside me, in my heart, and it wants to burst. But I can't describe it. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to cope with it. I don't know how to translate it. And that is where tongues comes. That's where I naturally now slip into praying in tongues. And it is normally at the most difficult times for me that is the time and the amazing peace and connection with God that comes through that is amazing. Who has heard tongues but not known really what it's about? Yeah. Right. So there's a few of you that have heard it, not been sure about it, because the thing is, it sounds a bit weird. Sounds a bit odd. But it is there for you to be uplifted. And funny enough, there are two things you have to do. One, ask for it. And the next one is a real mind blower. You have to open your mouth. Because believe me, when you start to speak in tongues, you think it's going to be complete gobbledygook. So it comes into your head and you're going, that is really weird. Nah, nah, nah. So you carry on praying, please God, give me tongues. Still comes into your head and you're like, no, 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 no. Please, God, give me tongues. You've already got it, but you're not opening your mouth. Because again, this is a gift and you have to take it. And if you're asking to speak in tongues, you need to speak. Funnily enough. Now, a number of people have kind of gone, okay, so we're doing tongues today. Excuse me while I just go through the platform. We're doing tongues today, but you're also doing the breastplate of righteousness. So I'm going to remove the non-Roman helmet and put on the non-Roman breastplate, looking at no one in particular. Okay. We're getting there, look. Don't encourage him, seriously. For those of you online, we've had the enlightened suggestion it should have been a stormtrooper. And there's a number of people in here that would have been quite happy with that. So what's this got to do with tongues? What connection would the breastplate of righteousness have got to do with tongues? Good question, really. And I'll let you decide whether or not I've made the connection or not. The breastplate is of righteousness. What is righteousness? Right living with God. We can't do that, can we? Not on our own. This is where the saggy belt comes in, because you can see it under the breastplate, so I can still point to it. The truth comes in that we can never live right with God on our own. But God has sent the Spirit and all the gifts. Yay! Whoopee! We also need to remember that in truth, okay, I'm just gonna. Okay, somebody lifted this week. You'll just. Oh, right, okay. I might have never done this before. Am I all right standing up? Okay. I've got this vision of me suddenly going through the floor into the baptistry. Yeah, bye. Hey, it's all right. He prayed for healing last week, so we're all right. Okay, I've lost my train of thought now. Righteousness and on the truth. God sees us through Christ. Yeah? Clear on that bit? When God looks at us, he sees Christ. We are covered in his blood and therefore in his righteousness. Done deal then, eh? Don't need to do anything else, do I? You wish. This is where the whole balance of grace and legalism comes into play. Okay? Legalism being, these are the rules, you stick to them and you behave, and there are consequences when you don't stay to it. You will behave like this. That's not what Christ came and died for us for. God loved us so much that he doesn't want us to stay where we are. Even though we are covered in the righteousness of Christ, we live our day-to-day life knowing how we should live and trying to step into that. And I am so hard trying not to say working, because it's not us, it's with the Spirit. So each morning, God, be with me today. Please help me to, I don't know what you're working on, but out of the air, please help me not to lose my temper with the kids today. Or please don't let me speak badly of the person at work that's driving me nuts. Sorry, Alison, I love you really. Ask God to help you. Ask the Spirit in to help you walk with him. And at the end of the day, have you done anything within the day that you need to repent and ask forgiveness for? Because it's freely available. You can do it at any other point in the day if you like, but do you look at your day and go, Was I walking in the righteousness of God all day, or did I kind of wander off a bit? And if you did, that's all you've got to do, is ask for forgiveness, and God freely gives it. So you're right with him. The bit that you might find a little bit harder is, have you wronged anyone during the day? And if you have, you need to ask them for forgiveness as well. You stand as sons and daughters of Christ. And when we mess up, and we do, we are representing Christ. So if we say something or do something that we know doesn't please God towards someone else, we need to tell them that. We need to say, I'm sorry, I didn't intend to hurt you. I didn't intend to lose my temper. I didn't intend to, I don't know, whatever you've done. And I'm sorry. You would be amazed at how much power are in those three words. I am sorry. As long as you genuinely mean them. They are so powerful. Acknowledging that we are not perfect and that we are going to try harder is powerful to people who don't know that yet. God works in our weakness. Isn't that awesome? The more I mess up, the more God can do. Woo! I'm all right then, I'm safe. But it's true. The more we get this wrong, the more God can work through us. Ever heard it put like that before? No. But it's true, isn't it? Because it's in our weakness that God is able to do all that he wants to. It's what people see. When you go to somebody and say, I'm really sorry, I messed up, I will be trying harder, they're going to go, why did you apologize? Because I'm a Christian and I believe God wants my life to be better. You just witnessed. You've shared the gospel all in one go. Just from saying, I'm sorry, I will be trying to do better because. We live in a society that blames someone else. It's always someone else's fault. It's never ours. I mean, it's full of it, isn't it, in the news? And it started when? At the beginning in the garden. She did it! And it's been the same ever since. They did it, wasn't me. They did it. We need to walk in righteousness. Because the more we walk in righteousness, the less the devil can get at us. Hence, the breastplate of righteousness. And it protects our heart. And what comes from our heart? Loving, and also, and here's the ambiguous link, tongues. As we step out, both in how we live our lives and accepting the gifts of God, the more we witness, the more we share God with the world outside. The more we're humble, the more the devil can't get a foothold. Jesus died on a cross so that his righteousness could be credited to us. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to accept that righteousness, stand in it, allow it to protect you? Along with the gifts of the Spirit, are you going to step out and use them? Are you going to ask for them and use them? So those of you that have stood up at different weeks and gone, yes, I'd like a gift of healing. Have you prayed for anyone? Have you asked for healing since? Because if you haven't, what was the point of asking for it? Have you asked what if you... You prayed for the dog. Okay. Is the dog better? Okay, that's a whole theological marsh I really don't want to get into. Have you prayed for faithfulness? Have you used it? That if you're asking for it, have you actually opened your mouth? Now, I know this because this was me. Because for me, when I became a Christian, I was in a church where you became a Christian, you were baptized, and you were baptized in the Spirit, and it was expected that you would move in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, where have I heard that before? I'm sure there's somewhere I heard that before. Because Paul often said to people, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He didn't say, oh, hello, lovely to meet you. How are you? What job do you do? How's the family? No. What church do you go to? No. Have you received the Holy Spirit? First question out his mouth, wherever he goes. Shouldn't that tell us something? No? You're all sitting there and I'm thinking, are you actually awake? Or are you concentrating so hard that you're in a coma? The first question, first time you meet someone, have you been blessed with the Holy Spirit? Are you moving in the Holy Spirit? What has God done for you this week? What wonders have you seen from God this week? Well, we saw Sidge's hands healed, praise the Lord. Yeah? We're not used to hearing this, are we? I think most of us last week sat there going, don't know quite what to do with that. But actually, praise God. Mark heard God. Mark prayed. God healed Sidge. Praise the Lord. I know I do. Are you listening to God? When you stood up and asked to hear God, have you been listening? Have you put time aside to hear him? Have you stepped out when he's told you things? If God said to you, go and give that guy a cup of coffee, did you do it? Or did you go, you've got to be joking, no way. They're natural responses. You laugh, but they are, aren't they? We're human and we're like, I don't want to make a fool of myself. There is a reason that there's a mantra that people say of, I want to be a fool for the gospel. I don't ever want embarrassment to stop me doing what God has called me to do or what God is asking you to do. Because we are the feet of God on earth. We are given the armor to protect us to step out in that. We are righteous under Christ, but are we living it every day?
But that's not a burden, because
we live under grace. We have all these gifts in our toolbox to live life for God. And that includes speaking. I've lost a page. Ah, sorry. I've got a whole section of notes just gone. It's one of those mornings. They all were filled with the Holy Spirit. The church started at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit arrived and the church grew to over 5,000. Over. We're just talking about counting men, and believe me, if you're counting that many, there's no way they got the count right. So imagine, just for a moment, if 5,000 people turned up here on Sunday.
Yay!
Yay! Amen! But can you imagine the chaos? Can you imagine? I like where your priorities are. We'll need another coffee machine. But that was what happened. And then you've got all those people going, so what do I do now? What about the next day? There's all these people who have been blessed by the Holy Spirit, have heard the gospel, come to Christ. What are we going to do now? They've got no Bibles. They've got no church buildings. Nobody's told them the right thing to do. So where did they go? Who told them? Holy Spirit. I can hear whispering. Holy Spirit. Come together. Commune with one another. Eat together. Take bread together. Break bread together. And by the way, here's an armful of gifts that will help you move forward. Be connected to me. Have your heart so close to mine. You know my will. You know my dreams. But protect it. Protect it with the truth of the gospel and the righteousness of Christ. And speak it. Now they got the first example of tongues. Because on top of getting tongues, another one of the gifts is interpretation. So I've told you about personal upbuilding with tongues, where I can pray what's bursting inside of me that allows me to connect with God. There's another one that is for the church. Now, I know you've seen this. Anyone else seen? Anyone else seen a tongue spoken out loud and then an interpretation given? Yeah? A number of you. So that's where somebody stands up and starts speaking in tongues, or they don't even have to stand up, speaking in tongues. And then whoever's leading will turn around and say, we are now going to wait on the interpretation. What's interesting about this is sometimes when we do the interpretation, guess what? We get it wrong. It's allowed. But there's a feeling when it's wrong, isn't there, Alison? When we went to Fresh Dreams, in the very first worship meeting, somebody did this, stood up in tongues. You've never seen it before? No. Bit uncomfortable? Yeah. You're allowed to say yes. It was uncomfortable because somebody stood up and gone, we're going to wait on God for the interpretation. And the service just stopped. And that was it. Everyone sat there in silence, going. And then someone stood up, gave an interpretation, and again, in the room, there was, it's on the right track, but it's not quite right. And that's not what the leader said. The leader said, sometimes there's more than one interpretation, which is fine. And again, a little bit of uncomfortable silence where everyone's going, which is normally when the person who's got it is going, no, God, no, not me, no, God, no, not me. And then it came again, and this time, similar theme, just on a different track. And everyone in the room went, that's it, we've got it now. None of this is easy. And even if you've stepped into these gifts, funny enough, it doesn't get easier. You know why? Because it's not about you. Because that bit of you that's going, no, that's not me. No, 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 that's not right. No, no, no. That's you making sure it's God and God alone. That's the bit inside of you that is going, I am not righteous. And this is where your armor comes in. The truth and righteousness, salvation, your shield, your shoes are all saying, God is saying, you are my child. No matter what you do, you're loved. Therefore, you can move in the gifts of the Spirit. The devil has no right to tell you that you are not the person that it is. He hasn't got the right to say you're not worthy. Because guess what? He's right. We do not deserve this. But guess what? Our God loves us so much that he blesses us again and again and again. So, who would like gifts of tongues or interpretation? None of you. Stand up. Two of you. No more takers.
Oh.
Okay. I'm hoping and praying there's some of you sat there going, I'd like it, but there's no way you're getting me to stand up, Naomi. Let's pray. Lord, your Holy Spirit is welcome here. We open our hearts, we open our minds, Lord. We pray that you would come now. Fill these people and those that are sat asking for your gifts. But Lord, we ask for tongues. We ask for the gift of tongues and interpretation. This church wants to stand up for you. This church wants to step out in all you have and all you are offering. Come, Lord Jesus, send your Spirit. Fill these people now with the gift of tongues. Fill them, Lord. Fill them and give them the courage to open their mouths. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us that we may walk in your gifts. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to speak out in tongues. What I am going to say is, if you haven't done it before, go home, lock yourself in a dark room and play. And speak out what comes into your head, however daft it sounds. And just keep doing it. Because you will find you become more comfortable. And the more you use it, the more it comes. And if you want to, anyone wants to come and speak to me, you're always welcome. So, before we worship, we're going to pray. I found this prayer this week that I felt I wanted to share with you. So let's pray. Lord, be with those who have the power to change worlds. Be with those who meet with kings and queens and leaders, who take your presence into legislation and the fight for justice. Be with those who work unseen with the poor and the voiceless. Lord, be with those who lead your people with dreams of unity and reconciliation. And be with each of us who doubt the value of our position and the little influence we have. Faith of a mustard seed. That is all you ask. Let us believe today and use whatever power you have given us for good. Your power, Lord, needs to be in so many places around the world. Our TVs, our phones, our computers and our papers are full of so much despair. Of people's lives ripped apart. Either through war or poverty. Through crime and health. Come, Lord, in all your power, and show us the power you have given us. For we have faith of a mustard seed, but know that with your spirit, there is no stopping the movement of your love. Come, speak over our town, over our places of work, over this country and over the world, Lord, for you are sovereign over all. Let us speak your name in praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.